Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go south, go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. I've asked this question before, but I will ask it again at this point as we begin to look at this text. If there is one person in the world to whom you could tell the good news today, who's the most important person you could think of to tell the good news? I have a very simple answer for you. Look in the mirror and tell yourself. Because this world gets us down so that we often wander around as if we're the losers. We need to hear good news every day. We need to tell ourselves we're saved and redeemed. Obviously, we also need to say that to other people. We need to look around at those whom the Lord has put into our life and be able to say that to them and to love them as well. Jesus Christ died for you. Tell yourself that good news every day. Tell yourself what God thinks about you instead of what you think about you or what everybody else thinks about you. We live by what other people say, instead of by the one person who knows us better than we do, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to suffer and die that we might live forever. It's really hard to pick any one of these three texts today. They are all so majestic, all of them. I mean, the text that Gina read from 1 John is, I mean, the whole story right there, faith and life. What a majestic way to tell that story. This text has a very special place in my heart. When I went away to college 52 years ago, this was the first passage I was assigned to do a study about. I shouldn't end the sentence with about, but that's the way it went. And several very important things in here. First of all, it's got some geography. Secondly, it's got an Old Testament passage. Third, it has... There is a verse that I didn't read that isn't in the oldest versions, but that comes in an extra special confession of faith from the Ethiopian eunuch. And so every time I come to this text, I can't wait to think about it some more. I spent yesterday at Concordia St. Paul talking with others about our district convention, which is coming up in the middle of June. And the theme for that is "On Our Way Rejoicing," from this text. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He heard the good news, and it changed his eternal life. Now, a lot of questions are here for me First one, who was this fella, this Ethiopian eunuch? Was he an Ethiopian? We would kind of assume so, but then why was he going up to Jerusalem to worship? He was obviously looking for something that he didn't have in his own life. Then, must not have been a poor guy. He's reading the prophet Isaiah. He's reading a scroll. Well, number one, maybe he knows how to read, but does he know how to read Hebrew? Or does he have an Aramaic Targum that he is reading? What's he reading anyway? Does he know how to read that language too? Where did he learn that from? And how does he just manage to be around Isaiah 53 as Philip comes? Well, who's this Philip guy? Another question. Well, in the early church, remember, they had people who brought everything and they lived in common. And so the Greek-speaking Jewish widows said that the Aramaic-speaking Jewish widows were getting more money in Jerusalem as they divvied the stuff up. And so they selected seven people to be involved with handling the funds, the money counters. But they were spiritual people. They knew what the story was about. Here's Philip, who at first is just helping to divide the funds among the people, and all of a sudden, he's an evangelist. He's not one of the 12. Every Christian, no matter what we do, is part of the story of the new kingdom. Tell that message. And this chief question here, about whom is this prophet speaking? About himself or about someone else? And it matches so perfectly. We know that in many times and places, people have been hurt because of being believers, not only in the Christian faith, but in other faiths as well. But as this is being read out loud, Philip hears the eunuch say, "How can I understand this stuff unless somebody would help me?" And the text from our hymn, what does Jesus do? He does the same thing. He opens the scriptures to be able to find out and to tell those early disciples becoming apostles, those two who are walking that road to Emmaus, here's what was really going on. He had to suffer and die to take everyone's sins away. If we don't read the scriptures, we probably don't have many questions. Search the scriptures, for those places that you look in those scriptures have eternal life news about what I'm doing and what I've done and what I will do for you. And so, as they're making their way, Philip did more than just three or four sentences. They see some water and he says, "What prevents me from being baptized?" He did a whole Life with God class. Maybe a little bit shorter than the one we're doing. But he tells the whole story of salvation. How do you get the benefits of what Jesus did? When water is poured on your head, the Spirit of God brings you to new birth, and he gives you the benefits of what Jesus did when he died and rose for you. And so they go down in the water together, and then the Spirit of God catches Philip. All of a sudden, he's gone, just like Jesus with the disciples at Emmaus, and just like Jesus in the upper room when he not only comes but leaves and we'll see them again. So Philip finds his way to go tell the message of salvation to the Greek-speaking people along the coast who also need to hear that story of salvation up in Samaria until he gets to Caesarea by the sea, which is where Pilate would have been living. And so we have a nice story. A nice story about how does the gospel go out to people. In fact, this is the first story about evangelism beyond just the narrow circle, beyond just those few who were gathered together in and around Jerusalem. Now the story is going to bounce further, and by the time it's all done, it'll get to Rome and then all the way out into the whole world. So what do you think that Ethiopian eunuch did? went home and kept his mouth shut, I'm sure. Well, then how do we know he went on his way rejoicing? Philip was gone. We know because the early church knew more about it than we do. And they knew that that man went and he shared that good news. That's the way it works. On our way, rejoicing. Going forth in his name. Why do we gather to worship? Certainly it's also to see our friends and to encourage one another and love each other. We don't even come just to say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Every time we come, we say, give me such a deep awareness of who you are and what you've done that my ears will be open when you give me the chance to talk to somebody who needs to hear about that story. We are the Phillips. We are the ones whom the Lord opens opportunities for. The church is a missional church. It's one of the words that's been used in recent years to say we are on a mission. Whether or not we know it, whether or not we feel part of that, we are Christians who are equipped to love people with Christ's forgiving love. That's the point of being here. We're not here for the Lord to shape us up and spank us once in a while and give us trouble so we don't forget about him. We are people who say, come and feed and strengthen me so that as I'm settled in my heart, I have the joy of being able to look at others in their lives and say, I've got good news for you. None of us walk the same path any single day or any single week. We all know people who carry heavy burdens on their heart. Every one of us. And we all can ask the Spirit of God, find some place where I can help someone else out of my own voice to say what needs to be said so they hear the good news. And so what if somebody says, well, I don't know enough to be able to say that. Good. That's why you're here. That's why we have Bible classes, so that we can get trained. The only thing the Lord really, really cares about us doing on this earth is proclaiming his glory and what he's done to save us. All the rest of it is simply part of our daily life. This is part of our eternal life, and I hope there is nobody walking this planet whom we say, I don't care if they're saved or not. You may be the one. You may be number 39 or number 87 to share that message. You may be number one to tell someone else. We don't know where we are in anyone's journey, but we do know that the one who gave his life for all loves people through us and chooses us to be also walking those roads that we walk with our eyes open, not to simply say good luck to you, but let me share with you the hope that fills me, and to ask our Lord to make us people who are ready and willing to see ourselves on a mission of loving people for whom he died. That is our Christian worship. And thus, who's the most important person after you to tell that message? Now keep your eyes open, and the Spirit will tell you every day. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.